We've been in a series about conversations about the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things around Holy Spirit that, you know, throughout the years have been confusing, and people have just, do I really need him? Is he kind of like Casper the Ghost? And so over the past weeks, on May 20th, we talked about walking in the Spirit, that it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to walk with him without walking in the Spirit, without letting Holy Spirit lead you. Because if we're left to ourselves, we will always go down the dead end. We'll always go down the dead end. Because we don't know how to get to God. We don't know how to please God. We don't know how to walk with him. And we need that transformation. The Bible calls it about being born again. No longer of the flesh, but now of the... No longer of the flesh, but now of the... Of the Spirit. So he brings us alive, that we're truly alive, that now all of a sudden, we talked about the flesh operating system and how it tries to grab everything it can around us, even good things like family, good things like sex or money or other things that are not bad, but it tries to pull it in to be fill this void inside of it, only to cause a mess because it stirs around and none of those things can fulfill us. Whereas God creates us born again, and he brings us back into the right place under the Spirit operating system, that now all of a sudden he completes us so that all these other things that we have around us now, they can come into proper order and they can flow right. They don't consume us and they don't take that high place, because now all of a sudden we have that complete. We don't have to worry. I liken it to the fact of even with my two daughters, and that my best way to protect my daughters and that from predators, from guys that just can't stay to themselves, and that is not by getting bigger guns and that, but it's by me dating my daughters. It's by me loving my daughters. It's by me coming around them so that they can be secure in who they are, that they know they don't need another man to complete them. And that is for me to lift up Jesus in their life so that they can see Jesus so strong. They don't need someone else to complete that part. And that, because reality is, all we ever do in that, with all the problems around us, if we don't cast it on Jesus, we look for something to medicate it. We look for something to medicate that pain. We look for something to medicate and that that weight or that anger or those things in our heart we don't know how to handle. And God is saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Holy Spirit, the forgotten God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are all one. You cannot have Jesus without Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus, and you can't have the Father without Jesus. It's a complete package. On the second, we talked about who Holy Spirit is, and we walked through that. On the third, the 10th, we talked about Spirit as our guide. And then we talked about Spirit as gift giver. And that's where I want to continue to pick up on and to walk from. I gave you 3 points on the art of a meaningful gift giver. You know, some of us are good gift givers. Some are not so good gift givers. I give cash, and that my kids come to me and they got a party to go to, and that they come to me, I give them cash and say, here, just give them. They know what they want. And that, whereas my wife, she meticulously, she pauses, she thinks about it, she works together with the girls and they find out some amazing gift to give and that, but I'm just not that good at it. And so I just give the cash and say, hey, you know what? They already know what they like better than I do. And so some of us are good and some of us are not. But what makes a gift meaningful? And last week we talked about it. Number one, it has to be considerate. The gift that fits them. Personality, likes, wiring, their size. Don't give them a gift that doesn't fit them. It won't go so well. It won't have the meaning behind it. Number two, it comes at the right time. It was what they needed at that time when they needed it. Whether it's that visit, whether it's some money, whether it's a timeliness of that gift or whatever it might be. And third is that it cascades the others. There's nothing like a gift that blesses even more than the gift recipient. But it just keeps giving and keeps giving. Kind of like at Christmas, sometimes some used to, now it's not as much because there's video games and everything, but used to buy the family game. You know, so you'd buy a gift for your family as a parent, and you'd buy your kids and that in the family. Here's our family game that we're going to play around the table together. And it was used as a way to pull us together, so it was a benefit to everyone. And that's where God is saying is a good, meaningful gift will do those things. Today, I want to come into 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 to 11. If you have your Bibles or you have your phone with you and you want to open it up to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. I want to kind of break it down. I want to kind of walk through this idea as Holy Spirit is the gift giver. And listen to me, this is so important for us to get. Why? Because if we don't allow Holy Spirit to work in us, we don't allow Holy Spirit to work through us, then all we're doing is what we can do. And I don't know about you, but the last time I realized and I saw, I can't save this world. I can't change it. I can't do it. But I know one that can. And we got to partner with him. We got to allow him to work in us, but we got to allow him to work through us. Don't let fear stop you, because the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. God says, I've given you not a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So if you're with me now at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 11, I want to kind of walk through it. I'm going to stop and break it down so that we can understand this a little bit better. It starts out by saying, now about the gifts of the Spirit. I want to stop there because that phrase, spiritual gifts or the gifts of the Spirit, doesn't really actually appear in the original text. It's not found in the Greek. It's not found in the original part. It's in our English translations to try and help us grasp something. But it doesn't occur where the apostles wrote. In some of your translations, you will have the word gifts in italicized, and then in italics, so that the reader can know that the word was not in the original text. It's been added in English to help us make sense of what God is trying to say here. But literally what Paul says, and that when he's opening up here in the Greek, when you go back to it, is now about spirituals. Or now about spiritual things. And why is this so important? And that why is it so important that we grasp this and grab a hold of it? The reason Paul says this in this way is to help us to avoid the sense that these gifts of the Spirit are somehow like a Christian superpower. That somehow if we can just get this, and that we're going to get in charge with this energy and we're going to be able to do all these things. No, God is saying to us, this is the normal spiritual life. This is the norm to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. It's abnormal for a Christian not to walk in the gifts. Because for us not to walk in the gifts, we actually have to say no, or we actually have to push out, or we have to actually ignore Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit is at work 24/7, working in our lives and through our lives to help us connect to God, but to help all those around us to see Jesus in your life and my life. So the idea of the spirituals or the spiritual things that Paul's talking about or the gifts of the Spirit in our English Bible, it's less about possessing a gift and it's more about being ready to be used by the Spirit in a community. It's less about getting a gift. Oh, if I could just have this gift. I just need more. And it's more about being ready. God, if you could use anyone, here I am. I don't know what I got to offer, God, but if you are in me, then I got everything. Because I lack nothing in you. And so this idea of him talking to us here and that trying to break us free, when we go to the Greek about spiritual things, he says, this is the normal Christian life. Now, some of us, we might be here today, and this might be very new to you. And that because you grew up, and maybe the teaching and things you've heard as you look around, and that the gifts are kind of the kickstart of the church. They're not really for today. Or, you know, oh, yeah, that's kind of weird. And, you know, we don't really go there. We don't even talk about that. But yet, the Bible talks about this more and more and more and more. And he says, eagerly desire the gifts. Why? And that because I don't know about you, but when I look around me today, it sure looks a lot darker than it did when I grew up. When I hear the rumors of wars, when I hear and that about the morals and everything switching, now nothing's new under the sun. I get all that, but it seems a little darker. And if it's darker today, guess what? We need a little more light, do we not? And the only way we're going to get a little more light is to allow Holy Spirit to work in and through our lives. Amen? Because you're called for such a time as this, just like Esther. That little call from Esther, and that where she stepped in the gap and she saved her whole nation. Well, God says in Ezekiel, he says, if I can just find one, if I find one that will stand in the gap, I'll save the nation. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm really praying there's more than one of us here today that will stand in the gap and stand on guard for Canada. Amen? That we'll let our light shine and we'll allow the Holy Spirit to walk in and through our lives like never before. That we'll allow him to take control. Listen to me. When I try and take control, I mess up everything. I say things when I shouldn't say it. I don't say something when I should say something. And then I just mess it up. But when I let him lead, he makes things work together for good all the time. This is the activity of Holy Spirit. Now about the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. I don't want you to be ignorant. Why? Because this is important and beneficial. Then Paul acknowledges the world that we live in verse 2. He says, you know that when we were pagans, when we didn't know Jesus, when we weren't serving him, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit, by Holy Spirit of God, says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by Holy Spirit. Listen to me. None of us were good enough that all of a sudden we had an epiphany that we found God on our own. Holy Spirit has not only worked so hard on you and that to open your heart and open your eyes to be on a quest towards him, but he says Holy Spirit is moving to and fro throughout this earth and he's drawing people to Christ. He's working in hearts, and that so your loved ones that you're praying for, your coworker you're praying for, your friend that you're praying for, and they just feels like, man, I'm not getting anywhere. Listen to me, God's already working more than you are. And he's softening hearts, he's speaking, he's rearranging, he's taking like the little drawings we used to have as a kid with all the dots on the page, and he's starting to connect the dots. Be patient, God knows what he's doing. And once you know you get so many of those dots together, you begin to see what the picture is. And sometimes it just takes a few more dots to link. So don't grow weary in doing good. Keep loving, keep praying, keep pressing in, because you never know, that next dot might be the one that opens up the door for them and they say, now I get it. I see it. He is alive and he is well, and Holy Spirit is working forever in our lives and through them. What Paul is saying is that there are lots of spiritual powers and people in touch with spiritual powers that are real around us. There's darkness. Listen, and that I was up north, and I was working with a lot of people, and there was times there's this thing called a shaking tent, and that that my friends, they would share with me, and they say, yeah, you know, in our community, they would have times of celebration, and they had this shaking tent, and they said it was the most demonic thing that they've ever been a part of. That literally, the tent would start to shake as the demonic powers would come into it. And that the darkness that would come around, they said, was huge. And so when they came to Jesus, and that they expected Jesus, if Jesus has got more power, man, I need to see it. And man, that's why they begin to walk in the gifts, and they walk in with him a whole lot more. Isn't that wise? Because they've seen that the enemy is real. I can't remember the statistic, and that I shared before a statistic. How many people in the church today don't even think Satan's real? Man, he's duped a lot of people. I don't know about you, but man, I sure feel the effects of what he tries to do all the time. Trying to rob, trying to kill, trying to destroy. But if we don't even understand there's a real battle on there, we're just going to fly under the radar and think everything's okay, only one day to come to the Lord in Matthew chapter 7 and says, depart from me, I don't know you. And we're going to say, didn't I prophesy? Didn't I go to church? Didn't I give my tithes? Didn't I help an old lady cross the street? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do this? Didn't I? And Jesus is going to say, I don't know you. See, it's not about all the things we do. It's not about getting another gift. Oh, I got to get. It's about humbling ourselves and being ready and saying, God, no longer I that live, but you. So would you just take my life? If I can be of any service to you, whatever it looks like, doesn't matter if it's cleaning a toilet, doesn't matter if it's doing some radical thing, it doesn't matter if it's laying hands on the sick to recover. Listen to me, the best gift is the right gift at the right time for the right person. Stop trying to take a round peg and stick it in a square hole. It just does not work. Wait on Holy Spirit, trust him. And if he turns around and says to you, hey, and that I just want you to go up to him and take some gloves on and go over and work and help them around their house. Well, that's not spiritual. It is spiritual. And it has more effect if you partner with God than if you just do it on your own. Amen? But we're in a community where we can know Jesus genuinely. Life-giving power is at work because when the Holy Spirit is work, clearly Jesus will be the center of everything. If he's not the center of everything and it's not coming back to him, something should be going red flags. Amen? Everything will lead us. Holy Spirit will always lead us to edify Jesus. If you want to flip that next slide there, everyday powers of Christ. It might be a little hard to read there, but I'm going to read it for you and just quickly. Everyday powers of Christ. So every day I can experience his cleansing power. Can I get a big amen? And that Jesus has the power to cleanse us and make us pure every day. Not just once, but every day. And that every day I can experience God's power in the healing power. Jesus has the power to heal us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Every day I can experience the restoration power of Jesus. Jesus has the power to make right all the wrongs of morality, all the wrongs of this human world that we face. Even when it's so bad and we think, oh man, it's gone this so far this way, there's no hope now. There's always hope with Jesus, amen? And that those 10 spies didn't get it because they forgot Christ, they forgot God. But Joshua and Caleb, they didn't forget him. And because of that, they went into the promised land and they got to see everything that God had promised. Listen to me, what he's promised you, if you not grow weary in doing good, if you'll keep focused on him, you will see what he said because he's true to his word. Not only the restoration power, but identifying power. Jesus has the power to understand, to emphasize with us, to guide us, to lead us, to help us. He cares. Then we get strengthening power every day from him. Jesus has the power to give us strength beyond our natural abilities. Have you ever been in a moment when all of a sudden crisis hit? And I know doctors talk about adrenaline running. I get all of those things. But have you ever been in a moment where things were just chalked up against you and you didn't know what else to do when you needed something and God gave you that ounce of strength? He gave you that ability to go that extra mile? Maybe it's even in forgiveness. Oh, man. Sometimes... that's it. That's the end of my rope. I can't go any further. And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit speaks in your heart and he edges you to take another step. Has anyone ever experienced that? Or is it just me? I think it's just me. Oh, Tony. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate that. But we see that. Then we see transformation power. Jesus has the power to change our very natures. Let me pause to say this. You can't change yourself. You can work all you want. You can do the outward changes. Right? You can change your clothes. You can try to physically get fit. You can try to dye your hair color to be a certain color you want. You can put contact lenses that are different colors if you always wanted to be blue-eyed and you're green-eyed, or you wanted to be green-eyed but you're blue. You can change your color. You can do a lot on the outside. But the Bible tells us there's no one that can change their own heart. No one that can change that. Only God can. And God's at work all the time, in the saved and in the unsaved. He is at work. Why? Because he loves us all the same. And he's at work constantly right inside here. So be patient. Sometimes we don't see the outward change and we're like, God, you're not working. You're not working. And God's saying, yes, I am. I just got to do a couple more things in here so that when it comes out, it doesn't corrupt you or it doesn't come out in such a way that people don't even see it. Let me do the work here. He's always at work. He's always at work. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts. In verse 4, he uses the Greek word charisma, meaning a divine grace or empowerment. Listen, these gifts are a grace to you and me. Amen? They're an empowerment to live this godly life. That's what Holy Spirit does in our life. He empowers us to live this godly life that God has called us to. I don't know about you, man. When I'm left on my own, I fail all the time. Like Paul, I echo the same words. The things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. The things I want to do, I don't end up doing. I am so in need of Holy Spirit's help, and you are in need of Holy Spirit's help every day, or you will fall to the same traps that everyone else does. And it's called a crazy cycle. And we'll just spin it around and spin it around and spin it around and spin it around until we have an aha moment. And I'm telling you now, you can have your aha moment anytime when you say yes to Holy Spirit, because he's an awesome guide and he will lead you through. But the same Spirit distributes those gifts, different kinds of gifts. Verse 5, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Verse 6, there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, Paul does this often when he is writing about the gifts of the Spirit. Notice how he's stressing our unity by reminding us that it all comes from the same Spirit, same God, same Lord. At the same time he highlights our diversity, he emphasizes the fact that we are all different kinds. We have all different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of work. If you flip the next slide. When you see this picture, there's 600 pictures on this one picture. What do you see? See a man. So it's representing Jesus. I don't know if it's the right Jesus or not, but that's what it is. It's when all of our individual lives, our snapshots of our lives come together, everyone should see Jesus. You see, that's why Paul stresses over and over and over again the unity of the body is so foundational and so important. It's not important that Phil gets his way. It's not important that Phil's picture's at the top, because when you put it in a mess of pictures like this, you don't see me anyways, and you should never see me. You should see him. Paul stresses the unity of the body and the diversity of the body. Without this, groups of people can become polarized. They can become into cliques, that it's all about themselves and what they need and what they want. But Paul is saying, before we learn anything about diversity, before we learn anything about that, the fact that we're all different, we have to come on the first step, and that is that we're one in Christ. Otherwise, we're chasing after the wind, because we're missing everything, because he's not getting any glory. He says, I dwell in unity. I dwell in unity. I dwell in the family where the husband and wife, they work together. I dwell in the family, and that I dwell in the church when we work together. I dwell at your workplace when you're trying hard to work with your boss, even if your boss is not so nice to you, but you're trying to honor him. God says whenever we do anything that lines up to his word, we begin to worship him, and we worship him. He loves to be there. I don't know about you. When's the last time you've been in the mall? You've been somewhere, and you need Jesus to be around you, right? I need him all the time. And the key to get him around you, the key to experience or to understand that he's around you, I should say, is to begin to get your eyes lifted up, begin to speak out his name, begin to walk towards him. See, what Paul is trying to show us is that fundamentally, we are all the same. Paul's showing us that fundamentally, everyone's salvation is the same. Oh, there might be a different time period that you came to the Lord, or a different way, or a different season, or a different, but we all came the same way through Jesus Christ. Amen? So before we get off on our diversities, and I'm different, and I'm this, and I have this, and I am that, the eyes is what threw Satan off. You go to the seven statements of I, where he goes, if you're saying a lot of I's, you're either already trapped by him or he's trying to trap you. It should be an epiphany to say, Jesus, man, will you come right now and help me? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Don't get trapped by him. In order for us to celebrate our differences, we first have to celebrate the fact that we are one. There's nothing to divide that. We are one in Christ. Every Christian becomes a Christian the same way. My salvation is no different than yours. It's no less powerful, no less miraculous, no less amazing. In other words, we may all be used by the Spirit differently, but we are not better than one another. We need to avoid the temptation to elevate someone who is used in a particular way. Remember, we talked about the spiritual gifts, and I said one of the things it's not is a sign of maturity. It's not. Scripture is clear on that. Sign of maturity is walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Sign of maturity is saying yes to him. Sign of maturity is seeing Christ inside of us. Anyone can move in a gift, and everyone has a gift. No one is void of a gift. Everyone has one. A spiritual gift, not talents and abilities. We walked through some of that last week and that, but it's the idea of spiritual gifts that he has deposited in you and me. So what's neat about this as we read scripture is that we discover that you're an individual and your individuality is not lost when you become a Christian. You're unique. You were uniquely formed in your mother's womb and he doesn't take that away from you because that's so unique and special. But it actually gets enhanced. You just become a better you. I'm a better Phil now because of my wife. I'm a better Phil now because of all the churches I've been involved with. And now that I'm at Rockcliffe, I'm a better Phil now than I ever was before I came here. Why? Because when we come together as one, we get enhanced. We become a better person. We get drawn up. We spur one another on the most holy faith. Iron sharpening iron. We grow in him. I think of the Smith family. There was 10 of us growing up in the family with grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, and 6 kids all around the table. We shared the same values. We shared the same common standards. And because of that, or within that, it provided a safe context to discover my individuality and discover who I was. Because there was a safety. Because we're all on the same page. And in that same page, we got to develop and see who we really were in the midst of that. Verse 7. Now to each one, every Christian receives spiritual gifts. That's what he's talking. To each Christian, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Next slide. For the common good. Now let me pause here for a second, sidetrack away for a second here. When we walk and we say, thus saith the Lord. See, I grew up in a time period, I really believe that that's a great saying, but I grew up in a time period that everyone used that as a weapon against others. When they wanted something so bad, all they had to do was throw thus saith the Lord after it, and then how can you fight with that? How can I fight against God? When reality is, a lot of times that thus saith the Lord had nothing to do with God. It had all to do with flesh. Back in 2007, 2008, somewhere in around there, 2 pastors, husband and wife team, stood before the congregation, stood before a group of people and said, God said it's okay for us to divorce and separate because our ministries are getting so big that he understands, and it's okay. I'm sorry, that is not biblical, that is not God. Holy Spirit can't say that in your heart because if he did, he's going against God and he's a liar. And I don't know about you, but God's not a liar, amen? You see, God puts his word as a standard that we are meant to bend our life to. The problem is in our generation and in the world that we live in today, which is not any better or worse than the past generations, is that we want the word to bend our life. We want it to become convenient to us. We want everything to go our way. But listen, who is the king? That is the defining marker right there. Who is the king in your life? Is it you or is it him? In Judges, it says, and that everyone did what was right in their own eyes because there was no king. Who's the king in your heart? Because if he's not the king, you will do what's right in your own eyes because you're the king and you have the final say on everything. And I'm just going to say to you, if that's the form of Christianity that maybe you grew up with or maybe you've slid yourself into, it ain't going to work for you. It's not going to turn out well. You have a form of godliness, but you're denying the power therein because Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. I won't take second place. God's a jealous God. And that you can go back to the bride of Christ we talked about on Mother's Day, and you can start to hear a few of those things that I shared on that day. Is he the king of your life? Is he number one? That when he says something, everything drops. When he says go right, even if everything wants to go left, we turn and go right. Even if it doesn't make sense. I heard this saying once, I love it. It says, and that it's always right to do what's right, even if it doesn't turn out right for me. It's always right to do what's right, even if it doesn't turn out to my benefit. You see, the moment we came to Christ, we gave him everything. Remember, we might not play for keeps, but he plays for keeps. And the moment we said yes to him and said, yeah, you can have everything, he's now moving everything around us to move into that way. Because he took you at your word. He took me at my word. Thank the Lord that he does, because there's times that I'm wavering or I'm moving right or left and I can get lost and I can get caught up in stuff. And thank the Lord he took me at his word and he keeps coming, he keeps working, he keeps coming, he keeps working in my life to draw me to Christ. Common good is to edify, to build up, to liberate others for the good of the community. That's what the gifts are for. They're meant to build up. They're meant to edify. They're meant to bring liberty and freedom. They're meant for other people's good. So the spiritual gifts is an ability that comes to you freely. It's a gift, freely. For the purpose of ministering to needs or service for the common good. We need everyone firing on every piston inside. We need everyone hearing from God. If you're putting all the weight on me to hear from God and move this church and to become the back into the place that God has called it to and to move us into a place to overwhelm Owen Sound so everyone gets to see Jesus, that's a lot of weight on me. I'm not Jesus. I'm doing my best to try and hear from God. I'm doing my best to try and take a whole bunch of ragtag people like you and me and bring us all together as one focus and direction so that we can accomplish what he has. But at the end of the day is, if he don't show up, we ain't got nothing. It's all or nothing for me. I'm laying it all out. And that here at Rockcliffe, we're trying to lay it all out. God, if you don't show up, we're going to look really foolish. All we're going to do is spin our wheels. But we're trying deliberately and purposefully to hear from him, to walk with him, to align ourselves to scripture, and to allow him to move. Verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. It's not different. One Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines, as he wills, or he likes, depending on the version you read. So it's not about whether you're good or not. It's not about whether or not, you know, you can beat your chest, look at me, I'm kind of a little better than someone else. It's simply, are you just someone that will say yes to him? And if you'll say yes to him, he used a donkey. If he used a donkey, guess what? He can use you and me, amen? And all we got to do is say yes. And if we say yes, and we're ready in season, out of season, man alive, this adventure with God will come alive the moment you say yes to him. the problem that doesn't come alive is because we either numbed ourselves so much by all the world things around us that we're embracing, so much so that it overwhelms us that we can't see clearly, can't see straight, or we're just ignorant. We don't know. What do you mean there's gifts? What do you mean Holy Spirit actually wants to do? I thought it was just about getting to heaven. I thought it was just about loving Jesus. I thought it was just about doing this and doing this and doing this. If I did that, everything was okay. It's about so much more than that. Yes, it is. God wants to save us out of our sin. Yes, he does want to create a place for us called heaven. And yes, 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 yes. But it's so much more than that. He even says in his Lord Prayer, as he's praying to us, he says, hey, and that your will in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, bring a little bit of heaven down. You're going to get to taste heaven all your days of your life one day. One day we're going to go there. Or he's going to come and take us back. But until then, will you be about sharing me, sharing a bit of heaven everywhere? So when you come across a circumstance and you don't know what to do, just pause for a second and say, is this in heaven? If it's not in heaven, you already know it's his will that you can pray for that person, for that need, situation, whatever it is, and you can see him do something. See, I don't understand. It's not about rubbing your hands together. If I rub them fast enough, it's kind of like that shock. You put it on the chest and it starts their heart up. That's not what the gifts are all about. That's not about any of that. It's not might nor by power, not by you or by me. But listen to him and allow him to move you. The bottom line is that every Christian is in ministry. Every Christian is. We're all called to minister, whether it's in the hospital, grocery store, here at the church, somewhere else. No matter where it is, but we're all called to it. So we got to start to find out who we are. We got to find out what gift God's given us. We got to find out, hey, how do I hear from him? How do I walk from him? How do I make a difference in this new way? It says the old is gone and the new has begun. So I can't take my old habits and bring it into the new way of God and say, hey, I'll just keep doing the same old, but now Jesus is in it. He'll make everything better. Listen, God is not an add-on. He says, destroy this. It's gone. The old is gone. It's dead. Here's your new life. Now we have to trust him. We have to learn how to walk again. We have to learn how to eat again. We have to learn how to breathe again, move again, just like a little baby. And God says, just don't get stuck on the infant stage. I don't know about you. Some parents, maybe they love their kids in that infant stage, and they want their, oh, I wish my kid could just stay two forever. Okay, no, terrible twos. Okay, one or 8 months old forever. That would just be awesome. But that would grow weary and grow dull and everything after just a little bit. Because all of a sudden you'd realize, man, I've just stunted the growth of my child and they're not growing anymore. But yet that happens for many Christians because they don't get discipled right. They don't hear the truth. They don't allow the truth to set them free. They don't press in. They don't study themselves. They don't see what God would have. They don't partner with him. And so what happens is that they only get one step in the door. They only get kind of in there, and then they start losing all desire. They lose everything. Why? Because this is so familiar. I've been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt. So what's next? It doesn't seem like there's anything next. Well, the next is, he says, if you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. Don't get stuck in one place. Let me finish with this. There are five key ways in which we bring glory to God. Five key things that we bring glory to God. Listen to me before I jump into this. The Bible says, and that everything we do, everything we say, we're to do it for the glory of him, right? We're to bring it back to honor him. Okay, so here are five different ways in which we bring glory to God. Number one, we bring glory to God by worshiping him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. You see, worship is much more than singing a song. That's an expression of worship. It's an expression of our heart, but that's not what worship is. Worship is everything in our life. That when we turn around and you love your wife, you respect your husband, you're worshiping God. When we bring our tithes back to the Lord, our tithes and offerings, we worship God. When you honor your boss, Or you honor and that those that are in authority above you, even if you don't agree, but you honor them, you're worshiping God. See, worship is not about singing a song and playing an instrument. It's just the way that God has given us to express our heart towards him. But ultimately, every time we say yes to him and we line up to his word, we're worshiping him. Number two, not only we bring glory to God by worshiping him, but two, we bring glory to God by loving other believers. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Love casts out a multitude of sin. How's your tank of love right now for your spouse? How's that tank of love inside of you right now for your brothers and sisters here at Rockcliffe, or if you're visiting with us at your home church? How's that tank of love at your workplace? Is it running empty? Is it running low? And you're finding a million reasons why you don't like them, or why you don't think that they're so good or whatever? It's only because you're not spending the time with God and you're seeing the wrong picture. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Those things that God has given, they're at work inside of us. When you feel you lack something, you lack nothing because he'll fill you up. You just got to wait on him. You just got to come and you got to allow him. You got to ask and you shall receive. Number three, we bring glory to God by becoming like Christ. Listen, I've said it before. Your goal is not, as a believer in Christ, your goal is not to get to heaven. Where else am I going to go? If I love Jesus, there's only one place I can go, right? It's not like 15 levels of heaven, so I got to keep going up the chalkboard to get higher. There's one place called heaven. There's one place called hell. Just in case someone didn't know that. It's a real place. Do I understand it all? No. But what I understand is good. Not good. Place I want to be, place I don't want to be. Heaven is so good because God is there, his presence, him. Hell is not good because God's not there. The Bible says in the last days, there will be a part time in that last day that Holy Spirit will be withdrawn from the earth. And that expression that sometimes we'll say, all hell breaks loose, will take place. Because the very presence, the restrainer, is being really pulled back. That day's going to come one day. But we're in an age of grace, thank the Lord, right now. And Holy Spirit's at work and he's moving. But we bring glory to God by becoming like Christ. So the goal is not to get to heaven. The goal is to become like Christ. Are you looking like him more today than you did yesterday? Are you looking like him more today than you did last year? If you're not, pause for a moment and say, God, what derailed me? What stepped in here? What got me disfocused? I used to be passionate for you. I used to do all sorts for you, but now I do nothing. Now I hardly think about you. Pause for a moment. Take a step back and say, whoa, where did the devil cut in? He's out to rob, kill, and destroy. We bring glory to God by becoming like Christ. Number four, we bring glory to God by serving others with our gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 to 11 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have a gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all your strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ, all glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. You see, when you serve others around you with the spiritual gifts, you bring glory to a high level to him. Let me explain real quick. Got one more and I'm done. Let me explain real quick. When I do things in my natural ability and natural talent, people are going to turn around and say, wow, Phil, you did a pretty good job. Great job. But all of a sudden, I walk in a gift, and I allow Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, I speak something into your life, or you speak something into my life, and I'm like, whoa, how did you even know that? Did you read my diary? It's called the word of knowledge. Where all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, where did that come from? How did you, I didn't tell anyone. And then all of a sudden, someone speaks that into your life, you're going to have an epiphany of a God moment that all of a sudden you're going to realize, wow, that person, there's no way they knew that. They weren't in my house, and I only spoke it in my room by myself or with my wife or whatever. How would anyone ever know that? It's God. You see, when we walk in the spiritual gifts, all of a sudden people say, man, I know you. You're the carpenter's son. Remember they did it to Jesus? Because it was unexplainable. How could he walk in these gifts? How could he do this? That, we know he's just a carpenter's son. We know you're just this. We know this. We know that. You see, when we walk in the spiritual gifts, all eyes get off of us and it gets on him. Because what's impossible for us is not impossible for him. You see, and that's why it's so important that we bring glory to God through our serving others with the gifts so that people stop seeing us. See, I don't want people to come in and say, oh, well, I love the church. The church is really nice people, and they're just so nice to me and everything. I want people to come in and say, wow, I just want to be there because, man, God is so real. He is so big. We want them to see him. So in everything you do, do it unto the glory of him. Lastly, we bring glory to God by telling others about him. Not keeping it to yourself, but telling others about him. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, it says, all of this is for your benefit, and as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be a great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. Let me read that again. 2 Corinthians 4:15. All of this is for your benefit, and as God's grace reaches more and more people, as we tell more and more people, as we witness Christ through our lives to others, that they can see Christ, that their eyes start to open because of, wow, I don't know what's going on, but I want what you have. You ever had one of those statements this week? Last month? Last year? Right? Hopefully they're more often than that. But that people would see in our life and see something different. They'll say, that's what I want. And as God reaches, grace reaches more and more people, there will be a great thanksgiving or a big party in heaven. And God will receive more and more glory. See, all glory is deserved to him alone. Because I don't stand before you as someone that knows it all and got it all together. I just stand before you because he asked me to do it. And I'm just trying so hard to say more yeses to him than noes. And at the end of the day is the place that you're in your family, in your workplace, in the street that you live in. And that if we all just together say a little more yeses than noes, we are going to see God move, not only in our own lives, in our church, but we're going to see a move in our community like never before. But we got to give him all the glory. Less of Phil, more of him. Less of us, more of him. Jesus, to your glory and honor, we give. God, we're not chasing after the gifts. We're chasing after the gift giver. We want you. Oh, Jesus, we love your presence. We're overwhelmed by all that you do in our lives. On this long weekend, Lord, Lord, on Canada Day, we celebrate and we say thank you for allowing us to be a part of such a great nation. I don't understand why I deserve to be born in Canada and not in some other nation that seems to struggle so much. Yet I'm in this land that's so bountiful. Even our poorest really aren't poor compared to most of the world. God, Lord, I don't understand, but I knew, no, you put me here for a reason. You put each and every one in their family, in their workplace, in this community, in this church for a reason, for a purpose. So help us to find that so that we can walk in the rhythm of your grace. We can walk in partnering with you so that you receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. We love you, Lord. We give you thanks for all that you're doing. And I pray for each and every one here today. Lord, as we go about our day, Lord, in celebrations tonight and other different things with family, I pray for traveling mercies, Lord. I thank you, God, Lord, that you go before and behind us, Lord. There's nowhere we can go that you're not. And so, Lord, I thank you. Recognize, help us to recognize that so we can call out to you and you will answer. And so, Lord, I pray blessing and favor. And I pray if there's anyone here in the sound of my voice and maybe they don't know you personally. They know about you, but they're kind of like, you know, hey, I'm just not really sure yet. Jesus, would you just be made so real to them now, even as I speak, Lord? God, would you help connect that next dot for them on their journey, on their step towards you, on their step in line with you? Would you just help them connect that next dot? God, Lord, I pray you just be made so large. God, Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing. We just, Lord, we as Rockcliffe Pentecostal Church, we want to so much be open to you. We so much want glory to go to you. We don't want pats on our back. We don't want just people saying it's a nice church. We want you, to the real living God, to make an impact in everyone's life. Lord, to make an impact in our community. Lord, to make an impact here in Canada. Jesus, a real reason to celebrate, a big party, a Thanksgiving, as many souls come to you. And so, Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing. I bless each and every one, Lord, with ears to hear and eyes to see what you are doing. Not with the enemy, not with everything bad is happening and all that stuff, but give them eyes to see and ears to hear what you're doing. Oh, you're up to something amazing. And Lord, you said, he that began a good work will complete it. You're not finished yet. You're not finished yet with the earth. You haven't just said, forget it and left. Not at all. But you're actively working and you're looking for men and women that will link with you, boys and girls that will link with you and call on your name so that you would save our nation. So Lord, we just thank you right now for all you do and bless each and every one, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.